3 more from the archives on Mortain's book Ramblings. So these are all mainstream fiction, not sci-fi or fantasy genre fiction for you. The first one is Middlesex by Jeffrey Eugenides. This one was an audiobook. Synopsis. A Greek family emigrates to America where they raise a son. His daughter, Calliope, has an unfortunate genetic mutation that makes her a hermaphrodite. This is a blending of an immigration family history novel with a sexual awakening, literally, coming-of-age novel. Opinion. The good. This novel had a deep, rich, heavily foreshadowed story, which put a light tone to some very serious subjects. The book is about family relationships between Desdemona and Shorty, Tessie and Milton, Calliope in Chapter 11. Each generation has a male-female pairing that, when it mutates in Calliope's generation, turns into something healthier than before. I loved that Chapter 11 was key to determining the rest of the family's relationship to Cal after his transformation, and I thought it only fitting that Desdemona's granddaughter should be the key to Desdemona's final confession. The bad. The bulk of Calliope's story focuses on Calliope as a girl, yet this is Middlesex. It's a novel about being between male and female. I had hoped to get more of Cal's voice, a stronger sense of Cal as a male character rather than as a young girl. What's missing is the space in between Callie's running away and Cal's transformation into an adult man. When Cal returns after living in San Francisco, he's only barely male, and it's how his family responds to him that will determine how easily this adjustment is made. What I wanted to see was that adjustment, that transformation. That was the story that Eugenides left out, the story that we needed in order to believe that Cal and Callie were the same person. Eugenides, you could say, has written a Greek story in the lines of the Odyssey, when he should have been writing Metamorphoses. This is a novel about change and growth and transformation from one entity into another, not about moving from one place to the next and finally a return to home, the beginning, the stasis. The ugly. Nothing was really jarring in this novel. The off-balance narrative is unfortunate, but if you listen to Middlesex as an audiobook, the male reader balances out the feminine voice. Grade, B+, strong recommendation, well written, with some flaws or predictability that makes it a little less fun to read. My second review for you is The Memory of Running, and I want to point out that this one is an audiobook only. So if you're looking for it in a bookstore, you need to be the audio section. The author is Ron McClarty, who is himself an audiobook narrator professionally, so he narrates his own audiobook. Synopsis. Smithson-eyed is a once skinny, now fat, lazy, depressed man whose key word in life seems to be stupid, because he certainly says it about himself often enough. His sister Bethany is mentally ill, and the novel flashes back and forth in time to his childhood and adolescence and the present day. During his internal journey, he also travels across the country on a bicycle. This is a wonderful story about a fat man on a quest, a kind of Don Quixote searching for answers about his mentally ill sister, his family, and his life. My opinion? The good. Transformation. Again, I started listening to this as a fan in the process of transforming myself. Smithson isn't out riding a bicycle for his health or to burn calories or gain activity points on Weight Watchers. He's out there to tilt against his own windmills. And yes, there are important windmills in this story. He's out there to figure stuff out and to save his Dulcinea, who in this case is actually his sister, not a would-be lover. He's out there, and his Pancha was a woman in a wheelchair who loves him and who he has neglected for over 15 years. The parallels to Quixote are tremendous, but the story is more than the impossible dream. It's a story about moving through and forward and around. It's a story about changing yourself from the very deepest part of inside on out. The bad. The narrator, Smithy, seems almost autistic in his words and actions. He compulsively pursues this one goal until he reaches it, and frequently his answer to an emotional breakthrough or revelation from someone around him is to stupidly say, "Okay." It's not that I have a problem with an autistic point of view. However, I need to know by the end of the novel if that is the point of view I'm reading, and since Bethany is so strange, having Smithy be even stranger sort of offsets the focus for me. The ugly. I don't know that there's much to be considered ugly in this book. The only room for improvement is that I personally wouldn't mind reading a paper copy so I know how to spell names, and so I can remember the novel a little better. Grade, A-. Highly recommended. Well written, or such great ideas you just can't resist. And then our third one is The Secret Life of Bees by Sue Monk Kidd. Synopsis. Lily Owen is a 14-year-old white girl with a black nanny in the 1960s. Her mother, Deborah, died when Lily was a little girl, and she's grown up with her only nanny, Rosaline, as her feminine role model. When Rosaline gets into trouble while registered to vote, Lily helps her escape, and the two of them flee to South Carolina. There, they encounter the beekeeping sisters, May, June, and August, who nurture and harbor Lily and Rosaline in a house saturated in honey and feminine power. Opinion. The good. I found this novel charming. I was concerned that it would be yet another in the vein of Bastard Out of Carolina, of a girl being mercilessly abused and raped by her cruel father figure, but I was pleasantly surprised to find that Lily and her father's relationship was more complex than protagonist and antagonist, and the writing style was very charming. The bad. There's something that troubles me about this novel, and I'm not quite sure what it is. Perhaps it's that the protagonist does not really learn, except in the standard coming-of-age kinds of ways. Maybe it's simply that the trio of black Madonnas, the quartet perhaps if you add Rosaline, are so archetypal it's hard to grasp them as real people. The ugly. The ending. It doesn't fit the tone of the book. Of the rest of the book. I've had this happen before where there was an ending that I desperately wanted the characters, but it just didn't fit. It took me 5 years to come to terms with it in one story, and changing to the right ending was painful, but made the story much more real. I feel that Kidd has done her readers a disservice with this ending. However, I'm the kind of reader who can overlook everything in the last 10 pages of any novel, and so I don't allow it to massively impact my opinion. Grade. B. Strong recommendation? Well written, with some flaws or predictability that makes it a little less fun to read. And I'll give you guys a bonus review, since I've got the page up right now. Holes by Louis Sachar is a young adult novel, and it was made into a movie a few years ago, a Disney movie. Synopsis. Stanley Yelnats, the third, sentenced to a youth work camp for a crime he didn't commit. While there, he confronts an old family curse, an evil warden, and a legend bigger than himself. The good. I loved this book. It was good summer reading, a well-told story with a wound-together plot. Stanley's character is well portrayed, and this is a sexually charged coming-of-age narrative for one that is really more about responsibility and determination than manhood. A parallel story is the legend of Stanley's great-great-grandfather, the good-for-nothing accursed pig-stealer who has carried a gypsy curse to the New World and passed it on to his descendants. Well, sort of. His descendants don't really believe in the curse, but rather use it to wryly comment on their frequent bad luck. And in a third plotline, the bigotry of a small town once drove out a pure love between a white school and the black onion peddler. These three plot lines weave together really well. I wouldn't say seamlessly, but by the time you reach the last chapter, you have seen how these three, which have been mentioned here and there throughout the novel, all finally come together. The bad. There's a plot device that gets used twice in this book, and it's such a unique image, it's hard not to notice the parallelism when it comes up. The ugly. There really wasn't much to strongly dislike in this novel. Even though I am not a big fan of children's books, per se, and I tend to rate them a little easier just because there are certain things that are going to be predictable in a kid's book, I actually felt that this read well for any book, whether it's for kids or not. Grade A, highly recommended, well written, or such great ideas you can't resist. That's it for Mortain's rambling on and on about books for this week, or today, or however long I decide these things. I hope you've enjoyed it, and keep reading.